or a sister who is not on our call tonight, if you could just text them or put it in their messenger, wherever, and say, hey, we are on tonight for Revive You. So again, welcome everyone to our virtual Revive You. We are elated to be here with all of you today. Glory to God, as we all are recovering. We hope that you are doing well. Y'all know how we do. So in the chat, I want you to let us know how you are feeling on a scale of 1 to 5. Let us know where you are today. Let us know where you are today. On a scale. Thank you, Sister Anisha. I see you. I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. How's everyone else doing? Thank you, Sister Bridget. Praise God. So glad that you're doing good today. So glad you're doing good today. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Praise God, Sister Andrea. Andrea, that's amazing. That's amazing. Thank you, Jalea. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Welcome in to all of you who are coming in to Revive You. We're just putting in the comment section how we're feeling this morning or how we're feeling this evening on a scale of 1 to 5. Just let us know how you're feeling on a scale of 1 to 5. So glad that all of you are doing well. We have a special, special treat for you tonight, and I'm excited about this treat. God bless you, Zaniah. Thank you so much for being on with us. Praise God. Thank you for being on with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all, let me write down this one last thing. I should have already had it written down, but I've been moving today. One more thing I need to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are going to move forward. This is one of those Revive Yous that you don't want to miss. This is one that you don't want to miss, what God is getting ready to say and do. Amen? All right. So again, welcome into our virtual Revive You session. Y'all, today we are going to experience somewhat. Good evening, Brother Jalen. Good evening, man. So glad that you're on with us. We're going to experience a how-to session tonight. It's going to be so, 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 so good. And so we're going to have some of our community is going to share in the word of God with you today. So I won't be teaching, but some of our brothers and sisters will be teaching, or some of our sisters in the church will be teaching today. First, we are going to have how to overcome rejection, because we're in our mind game series. And so we're dealing with the mind, the functions of the mind, and everyday issues that we are up against. We're dealing with those things tonight. And so we're going to have how to overcome rejection taught by Dr. Nicole Wilson tonight. And then we're going to go into how to release unforgiveness and move forward, taught by Sister Zaniah. And then we're going to go into how to silence the war in my mind, taught by Sister Anisha. And then we're going to go into how to fight the battles in your mind through prayer. And that is going to be taught by Sister Bridget. So we have an amazing, amazing lineup today. And we are about to get ready to dive in. So without further ado, we are going to turn this thing over to Dr. Wilson, who is going to teach us about how to overcome rejection. And don't forget to take those notes. Amen. So we turn it over into the hands of Dr. Nicole Wilson.
Hello, 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 everyone. Can you all hear me? I'm hoping you can. If you can, please just kind of put some thumbs up on the screen. I'm actually at work. Y'all got to forgive how I look. I tell you, this hurricane done whooped some of us. I know I got whooped, y'all. So, Elder Gail, if you online, forgive how my hair looking. Y'all, sometimes laughter has to be medicine, like Proverbs said. So first, I am just so humbled and grateful for the opportunity to just be able to come before our Revive family once more. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this opportunity. And Lord, when you said first, I'm like, Lord, I just finished up a couple of notes. I'm like, Jesus, help me, Father. but tonight, I have the topic of overcoming rejection. And let me tell you, when I was studying this and I was seeking God on just what to give the people, I said, Lord, of course, you're going to give me a topic that really just, if you can't say amen, you got to say ouch, because I can be transparent with you all. You all are family. And this is something that I have dealt with. I think if we all could be honest today, if you want to put hearts on the screen, you don't have to. You can just kind of leave it silent to yourself if you would like. But rejection is something that if we're not careful, the tentacles of rejection can last and last and last. And so the teacher in me said, I wanted to give you all something visual for those of you who can, for those who watch the replay and can take some notes. I wanted you all to be able to have some. I'm going to be cognizant of time because I want to hear what everybody else has written down. But when I got that topic, the first thing I thought of, I said, well, rejection kind of comes on two different spectrums. And so if we look at it from a worldly perspective, all of us have dealt with rejection in some which way, shape, or form. Whether it comes from, and I'm talking from a worldly standpoint, and if you just follow me, I think this, hopefully, I pray that this will help somebody, because it actually helped me even in the process of studying on this evening. Thank you, God. But when you look at it, just if you were sitting in a therapist's office, the therapist would try to help you uncover what possibly may have happened in your life experience where you have felt times that you were rejected in life, whether it was from some social situation, whether it was from a parental to child relationship, whether it was with your friends, whether it was with a job, or whether it was where you felt incompetent. And so I thought we got to understand the definition first before we can even figure out how you overcome something, because you have to have understanding. And it plays into when we've been talking about what mind games truly are. When you can't have understanding of something, you can't even understand how to overcome it. So rejection in and of itself comes in these different forms from worldly standpoint. And so there can be social rejection, there can be dating or romantic relationship injection, rejection, there can be professional rejection, there can be even self-rejection. Did you know you could look in the mirror and reject yourself? That is just unbelievable. But we do it every single day and we don't recognize it as such. There's even times where there's something called warmth rejection. And when I looked at this, I said, Lord, have mercy. I've actually done this. Warmth rejection kind of refers to where you feel excluded or dismissed based off of qualities about your own personality. So it's like Sister Butterbean, she just looked mean. So let's just not even, we don't even want to invite her to the picnic. That's when we do it, like when we talk about warmth rejection. So they're perceived as cold or you're unfriendly, you're not sympathetic. I can tell you there have been times where some people perceive me that way and it shocked me. Competence rejection. That's where we reject somebody where they're dismissed, excluded, or devalued based on their perceived lack of skill, ability, intelligence, or effectiveness. I mean, all of us, I know I can raise my hand on that. Just because y'all see D and R in front of my name does not mean there are people that still will not qualify me based off of a particular skill set or walk out the room because they just think that I don't have what it takes. Just because you see DNR in front of my name, yes, I worked for that degree, but it does not mean that I don't deal with anxiety, that I don't deal with rejection, that I don't deal with self-esteem issues, that I don't deal with self-worth issues, that I don't deal with being accepted. Hello, somebody. It's okay. If you can't say amen, say ouch. But I know I'm not alone in this room. Okay. We all deal with it, but I will tell you something. The reason why I say this is the definition the world gives is because if we don't deal with the root and where it comes from, we will never overcome it. So when you even go into therapy scenarios, and I'm in therapy, I'm just telling y'all, you will look up information, help me, Holy Ghost, that will tell you how do I bounce back from it. And if you keep trying to tell yourself, I'm going to bounce back from something, you're going to keep bouncing back like a ball. What we want to do is not bounce. We don't want to keep entering in and coming out and entering in and coming out. We don't need to keep going back and forth and being pulled back and forth. What we want to be is the example of how to be overcomers. And that's why God led me to separate the two, because there is the worldly rejection that we deal with, and then there's biblical rejection. Okay. And when I say biblical rejection, I'm talking about a spirit of rejection. So there are some of us that will be tormented because of the emotional, physical response that we deal with. And some of us that have to recognize that the root cause is actually a spirit that we're dealing with. So while you may have to go to the psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, life coach, pastor, to be able to talk through those emotions, I need for you to understand it's not just an emotional root, but just like Pastor talked about that spirit of the octopus, one of those tentacles may actually be a spirit of rejection that has little tentacles have suction cups. And one of the things that caught my attention, Pastor, is not only do these octopus and squid-like creatures have tentacles that suction onto you, you have to think about every time they want to use those tentacles, there is ink that has to shoot out to be able to distract you and to cover your eyes from being able to see what's happening. And so if I'm already dealing emotionally from my soulish self, from these ideals of rejection that are identified from a worldly standpoint, y'all, my head wrap slipping, the enemy just, if I'm dealing from a worldly standpoint, then don't you want to perceive that the enemy does not even want me to see the root of what may be the spirit of rejection on me? So he may want me to seek out what will help me to just keep bouncing back over and over, but the tentacle that is causing these mind games, is causing my soulish self. See, we got to remember that our mind is part of our soulish self. It's the part of us that keeps pulling back and forth. So now we not only deal with mind games, but what part of the teachings was that? That wasn't identity crisis, was it? It was red flags when we started talking about how we were pulled back and forth, back and forth. It's your soulish self when we're talking about these mind games. It's the part of you that is your emotion, your consciousness, your will, your thought process, that as soon as you feel rejected, you become hurt. And when we become hurt, what happens? Our emotions become triggered. And it's that trigger that becomes detrimental. And so now the triggering is what allows yet another suction cup from that octopus to come along and yet another tentacle to come along. And so this is where the biblical part of rejection, how do you know that you're dealing with this biblically? Yes, Sister Stacy, those triggers. It's a cascade that the enemy just wants to cloud you with. That's the ink that comes along to not allow you to see from a godly perspective what's happening in your life, or maybe the life of someone whom you're attached to by a soul tie. And so here's what we talk about this. We call it a spirit of rejection, but it's actually, when we say this, the spirit of heaviness is how scripture defines it. And when you talk about a spirit of heaviness, that actually goes into manifestations of things like we find ourselves sad all the time. We're in excessive grief and sorrow. We get even insomnia, self-pity. Rejection is a part of this. So think about this. Rejection is actually a symptom of something larger. But if we don't deal with that one tentacle, then we can't get the suction cups of everything else off of us. Okay. And so what tends to happen, and I'm trying to get to the nose now because I want to get and be respectful of everybody's time. The way we reinterpret the rejection that we go through tends to be peppered by the lens of our own past experience. And that's what ends up creating how we end up reacting to it. So this, and this is where technology may get me, but I said, I'm going to try this and see how we go. So I'm going to see if I actually can present this and see what we got. So this is what I want to share, and I hope this comes up. Everybody can see this? Okay, awesome. And so when we feel rejection, it leads to hurt. And hurt is where we develop those emotions. And it's those emotions that trigger, and it develops, and I put blank response there, because there becomes a sinful or soulful response, or what we can call a biblical response that helps us to overcome. But how you respond dictates whether you're going to be the one that continues to remain oppressed or the overcomer. Make sense? And so when I go to this next little picture here, Lord, help me with the technology. Okay, see, I ain't as good. Why is this doing this here? I don't want to annotate. There we go. Okay, we're going to try this here. Okay. I don't know what it's doing. It won't let me slide down. Okay, well, that's okay. We're going to close that. I had so many cute little slides, but that's okay. We're going to stop sharing. The thing is that our perception of things. So we can have something that happens to us and a group of other people, and the way we look at it from our experience can shape us so differently. And here's just the one little picture, and I'm not going to share anything else, but here's the one picture. And this is what it looks like. Both of these are correct. This one person sees a number 6, the other person sees a number 9. They're both truthful, but it's their perception. My mother used to put it like there's their side, that person's side, or somewhere in the middle is where you can find the truth. And this is what rejection can tend to look like. It's my response or my past experience, the other person's past experience, and that's how we're responding to each other. Sometimes we listen to other people to respond, but we don't listen to other people to understand. And that can get us into a world of trouble, especially when it comes to rejection, because rejection, it makes us sensitive as a result. And so because we become so sensitive, we tend to not make full sense of everything that's happening in the situation. So what we start to do, our soulish self says, well, this is how the Lord made me. He understands my feelings, and that's all right. The Lord know my heart. But we don't realize that that's actually an emotional response. It's a soulish response, and it actually becomes a more sinful response as a result, because what we're not doing is taking accountability for how we're responding when we feel rejected. Okay, we're looking at it from our perspective, and then we're shifting the accountability away from us and not actually taking accountability for how we can shape our actions. Okay. And I promise you, I got a scripture, and I'm going to shut up and give it to the next person. What it basically states is that I'm not telling you to invalidate how you felt, because your emotions, they're real. But just because your emotions are real, it don't make it right. Okay, just because it makes sense doesn't make it healthy, okay, for your response to be as such, because we got to understand that that flood of thoughts, that flood of emotions, that trigger, it ultimately becomes our actions, and it's our actions that can lead us into the wrong way. So we become hurt, we become lonely, we become jealous, we become shameful, and that leads us into the wrong way. So how do we overcome it? Well, in the natural, because they're natural things that cause us to reject, You can write out your feelings. You can practice accepting the rejection. And I don't mean become a doormat, but what I actually mean is acknowledge the way you feel, accept yourself, accept those thoughts, accept the emotions, and then from a place of acceptance, take the appropriate action, okay? Focus on the positive and then try emotionally distancing yourself from the thing that made you rejected. And then you decrease rejection from a place of biblical standpoint. What does that look like? That actually looks like Ephesians. That looks like Ephesians, actually, the scripture itself, and I'm going to leave you with this, is Ephesians, excuse me, 4:31 through 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, where you're kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. As well as Philippians 4:8. How do you control that soulish self and that mind? This is the amplified version. Finally, believers, whatever's true, honorable, worthy of respect, right, confirmed by God's word, whatever's pure, wholesome, lovely, brings peace, admirable, of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think continually on those things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. And that's how you can overcome rejection.
Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's put up some hands there for Dr. Nicole. Oh my goodness. She walked that thing like a dog. She walked that thing tonight. And so we are so grateful. We hope that you all have a better understanding of how to overcome rejection. Next, we are moving to how to release unforgiveness and move forward. And that'll be taught by our very own Sister Zaniah.
Hey, everyone. Okay, so I'll be teaching on how to release unforgiveness and move forward. So what is unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is the inability or unwillingness to forgive someone who has betrayed, upset, or broken your heart. And I'll read it again so y'all can take notes. Unforgiveness is the inability or unwillingness to forgive someone who has betrayed, upset, or broken your heart. But we're going to focus on the word unwilling. It means to not be willing, opposed to, offering resistance, or stubborn. And some of us haven't been able to move forward because we're too stubborn to admit that it's time to let it go. Okay, and a note that I have is releasing unforgiveness and moving forward starts with a decision. Okay, so I'm going to tell y'all a story. So yesterday, I was sitting in my classroom with my toddlers. I work at a daycare. And I have one girl and the rest are boys. And so yesterday, I think that one of the boys had gotten mad. I mean, had did something to my little girl and she got mad. And so every time I would look her way, she was putting her hand on this kid. And I kept having to sit her down. And I remember thinking to myself, whatever he done did to her, she just needs to forgive him for it. Because, like, it was already out of her character to be hitting him or, you know, attacking him. So I was just like, whatever it is, she needs to just forgive him for it, let it go, because it's not like her. But every time she would keep, every time she would put her hands on him, I would have to get on to her so she would get in trouble or she would lose the opportunity to play with toys. And I would have to make her sit beside me. And every time I would make her sit beside me, she would just cry and pitch a fit. And so what she wanted me to do in that moment was validate her actions. And so that's what she kept doing, just crying, pitching a fit, and trying to make, you know, validate what she was doing as if it was the right thing to do. And that's how some of us think. We think that because people offend us, it's okay to hold a grudge, stay angry, resent a person, or even retaliate, but it's not. It takes a decision. Sometimes in order to move forward, it takes you to make the decision to love a person anyways, rather than holding unforgiveness until you're validated, especially when dealing with a person who don't take accountability or even apologizes. So, and for scripture references, I will be referencing the story of Joseph, and I'll give y'all like a rundown, and then I'll read the scriptures. So basically, Joseph, he had brothers that were jealous of him. They ended up betraying him, selling him into slavery. He ended up in prison. He ended up just like having to suffer for years. And then later, Joseph was exalted and put in the position to provide for his family, his brothers, and so on, although they had hurt him. So I'm going to be reading Genesis 45:1-15. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone go out for me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourself because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine had been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herd, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty, and there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here.'" Excuse me. "Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and he wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." In this passage, Joseph did three things. He released through tears. He recognized whose will it was, and which was the Lord's, and he reconciled with his brothers and his family. Can you have imagined if Joseph was just like, "I'm not helping you. Do you remember what you did to me?" But he didn't. He made a choice, and that was to love them anyways. So surrender your need to be validated in your actions or your negative feelings, and release, recognize, reconcile, and choose to love them anyways. And even if it's not in God's will for you to reconcile with a person, it's still in his will for you to love them. And that's all.
Amen. Come on, let's put up some hand claps for Zaniah. Oh my goodness. I was sitting here typing my notes in. Wow. Three things Joseph did. He released, he recognized, and he reconciled. That is absolutely amazing. So I'm taking some amazing notes here. Thank you again, Sister Zaniah, for your pour. Let's give it up for her. Yes, yes, yes. We are addressing some real things today. These are things that a lot of us are going through. And some of us don't know how to overcome, how to release. And so far we've learned how to overcome rejection. We've learned how to release unforgiveness and move forward. And now we are moving to how to silence the war in my mind. How to silence the war in my mind. And that is going to be taught by Sister Renisha. So let's clap our virtual hands for her. And it is yours.
Hey, everybody. Can everybody hear me? I'm so happy to be here, y'all. I'm excited about this word. So when Pastor Zach texted me today and gave me the topic he wanted me to teach on, I was like, Lord, where do I need to go? But God sent me to Joshua. He wanted me to read about just the process that the Israelites took when they were going to conquer Jericho. So that is Joshua chapter 6. But as I was reading, God just gave me a few things, and then I'm going to go into how to silence the war that's in your mind. So the city of Jericho represents the mind. Jericho was a fortified place. And when you start looking into the history of it, Jericho is thought to be one of the first, if not the first, city that was ever created. So when you think about during that time, when you're reading about Abraham and Noah and the early Israelites, they were known as nomads. So they didn't really have a home or a place. Their homes were tents. They moved to find food, to find water. But Jericho was a place of stability. They had this very large brick and clay wall surrounding the city. And even it was one of the first actual dwelling places, because again, the people during that time were mostly nomads. But in Jericho, they actually built homes out of clay and things like that. So Jericho was a fortified place, and fortified means of a place provided with defensive works as protection against attacks. So some synonyms of fortified means barricaded, covered, guarded, protected, reinforced, secured, and strengthened. And so just keep that in mind, because this is how your mind, in a sense, becomes fortified. So the mind will take an experience, and if there is no interference, it will translate it to our subconscious as something that is true, even if it is a threat to your identity in Christ, because the mind cannot perceive what is reality or truth from what is fake or fantasy. This is how the mind works to solidify truth. So, for example, when a child or someone goes to touch a hot stove, when they come back that second time around, their mind goes into overdrive to protect us, saying, wait, the last time we did that, we got burnt. Come on. The last time we tried to do something by faith, we got talked about, we got ridiculed, because again, the mind is trying to quote unquote protect us. But if we're not careful, this could open the door for the spirit of self-sabotage. So what self-sabotage is when you have the knowledge of what is the right thing to do, but you can never find the strength or ability to do it. There's something that spirit there is blocking it. So if pastor ever reaches out to you and say, hey, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, do you mind if you can pray to begin the start of service, or can you teach on this? And your mind goes back to a time where you tried to do something new, where you tried to do something in front of people and people laughed at you. Going back to what Sister Dr. Wilson talked about, that rejection, it gets replayed in our mind. And because our mind is trying to protect us from embarrassment, our mind is trying to protect us from rejection, the mind is saying, no, don't do that. This is unfamiliar. We can't do it. Okay. So how do we silence the war in our mind? So I have quite a few scriptures that I want to give you guys, but everything all the scriptures will be coming from the Amplified Version. So my first scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. It says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. Come on, you have to take authority of every thought of insecurity, lack, and defeat, and cast it down. Why? Because we are made into the image of God. So every time the enemy comes at you and says, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're always going to be broke, you're always going to be in this place of lack. Come on, what he's really saying is, God is not good enough. God is always going to keep you in a place of lack. God can't do the impossible in your life. Because go back to Genesis. We are made in the image and likeness of God. So that doesn't mean we are to resemble God on the outside. That doesn't mean I'm in church every Sunday and Wednesday and I can dress real nice and look holy and sanctified, but my insides have to resemble Christ. Do my thoughts resemble Christ? Does my heart resemble Christ? So anytime the enemy wants to come bombard you with different thoughts that you'll never break out of this phase in life, come on, you have to take hold of that thought and say, no, that is not God. I am made in his image and in his likeness. And if he wouldn't think those thoughts about me, then I cannot allow the enemy to make me live and dwell in those thoughts. All right. I hope this is helping somebody today. All right. So two tips on how to silence the war in your mind. The first thing is to give God a sacrifice of praise, because this pleases him. Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, the word says, through him, therefore, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. Do not neglect to do good, to contribute to the needy of the church as an expression of fellowship. For such sacrifices are always pleasing to God. And let me just come against that religious thought that when we hear the word church, we think of a church building. No, he's saying do to the needy of the church. This is the body of Christ. That means if I'm out in public and I see somebody from Glorious, or if I see somebody from Greater Deliverance, Greater Destiny, that is in need, come on, I help. I don't help just people of Revived Church. No, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. So you have to ask God, where can I serve you today? Come on, where can I serve you today? Because this pleases God. Genesis 4 and 7. This is God speaking to Cain after Cain's offering was not accepted. God said, and this is God speaking, this isn't Paul or anybody else speaking, this is God. God said, if you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you. You must master it. Come on, the enemy desires to master our minds, to have his way with our minds, because he knows if he can get control of this mind, come on, going back to that octopus spirit, every area of our life is left open, vulnerable to the enemy. You will not move forward in your relationship with God. You will not move forward in your relationship with people. You will not move forward in your relationship with your finances, because every little thing that happens, you're going to be like, Lord, why is this happening to me? Rather than saying, God, this is happening for me, you're using this situation to position me, to birth me into my next. Come on. So we cannot be so closed-minded to think that the enemy won't come and try us in our mind, but we have to master, become self-disciplined over our thoughts. And half that battle comes from not walking in our purpose, not doing what God told us to do. You know you're supposed to be on that praise team. You know you're supposed to be on that intercessory team. Come on, you know you're supposed to be on the usher team. But because you don't want to do it, because you got so much going on in your life, you're like, oh, Sister Renisha got it. Sister Yolanda got it. But come on, you're fighting battles in your mind at home. Well, get up and serve. Hallelujah. All right, because listen, when we learn to master our minds, check this, because God commands us to keep our mind on him. And when you are serving God, guess what your mind is going to be on? It's not going to be on, oh, are they watching me serve? Do I look holy and fancy serving? No, your mind is on him. So then, therefore, God is obligated to keep you in peace. And that is Isaiah chapter 26 and 3. Come on. And then my last key. Oh, and this is the big one right here. This is the one that has seriously been blowing my mind lately. But meditate. Meditation, y'all. This was the key to Joshua's success. The very first command that God gave Joshua, he said, you are not to allow this book of the law to depart from your mouth, but you are to meditate on it day and night, and then you will see success. If you want to see success in your finances, if you want to see success in your relationships, on your business, on your job, you have to meditate. Okay, scripture tells us that Joshua, because he meditated, Joshua left nothing undone that the Lord commanded him to do. I don't know about y'all, but when I get to my last day and I am standing in front of Jesus, that's what I want my testimony to be. Daughter, you did everything that I told you to do. You left not one assignment undone. Yes, Pastor, I got it. And so my last thing, I want to challenge everyone starting tomorrow, starting tonight, for the rest of this year, I challenge you all to meditate for 12 minutes a day, 6 minutes in the morning, 6 minutes at night. And I encourage you to choose scriptures that focus on God, because how we're going to silence the war that's in our mind. Some of us, the war is in our mind because we don't know who God is. But when we realize that he is that good, loving, and acceptive father of us, come on, that's half the battle right there. So I want to give y'all an example. Something that I've been meditating on. Psalms 84 and 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk is blameless. Personalize that thing. And for 3 to 6 minutes, all you're going to do is repeat the scripture. Put on your instrumental worship. And that's all meditation is you repeating the scripture over and over. So when you say that scripture for 3 minutes straight, you're going to say, for the Lord God is a sun and shield to me. The Lord bestows favor and honor to me. No good thing does he withhold from me. And you're just going to repeat that for 3 to 6 minutes. And then I want you to take some time to just be silent and just envision your time with the Lord. So what I've been doing, when I finish repeating the scripture, I will just literally picture me and God. And he looks like Morgan Freeman sometimes. And sometimes he looks like the man from Lord of the Rings. But that's just my image of God. And me and him are walking in a meadow. We walk to the stream. He like, Renisha, put your foot in the water. I'm like, oh, Jesus, that water too cold. And we laugh and we having a good old time. But come on, if you want God to go with you to the movies, envision y'all at the movies. Like, this is your time to be intimate with the Father and allow the Holy Spirit, come on, to come upon your mind and feel that intimate love of Christ. And that's I'm done, y'all.
Wow. I'm telling you, this has been awesome. Come on, let's put some hand claps up for Sister Anisha. Come on, giving us the tactics on how to silence the war in our mind through scripture, through tips, through practical application. Wonderful job, Sister Anisha. We thank the Lord for that. Now we are moving on to Sister Bridget, who is going to be teaching on how to fight the battles in your mind through prayer. Amen. Into your hands, Sister Bridget.
Hello. I hope you all can hear me. Pastor Zach, I text you back and you did not respond because I told him, he asked for 15 minutes. I say, I'll give you 10. So Dr. Wilson, Sister Janiyah, and Sister Renisha have really, really, really just went into, oh, wow. That's all I can say is, oh, wow. But I thank God for the opportunity because prayer is something that we must always do. I mean, there's three things that came to me when Pastor Zach asked me what I teach on how to battle how to fight the battles of your mind through prayer. First of all, we got to know how to pray. We got to know what to pray. We got to know when to pray. We got to have a relationship in order to pray. Because if we don't, we will pray of ourselves and not of God's will. And I thank God because he gave me, I think about how we come up in the church and we talk about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. But we feel that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit comes to make us shake, comes to make us speak in tongues, comes to make us do those things. But the Holy Ghost is really the impartation of God's Spirit in us, part of Jesus Christ on the inside of us that leads us and guides us and tells us how to pray. When our mind is troubled, when our mind is boggled down, when our mind don't know, when we wrestle with these things of this world, I think about three things that we have to have. That's the word of God, prayer, and faith. Prayer without faith is nothing. We have to have faith when we pray. We have to know God's word when we pray. So when the battles come in our mind, we got to know the scripture in order to put the right scripture with the right situation. I can't be battling, like you all know, I just battled the death of my granddaughter and the grief that overtook me. I had never experienced something that so great. So my mind was battling. At one point, I was like, well, God, just take me with her. But, you know, I had to think about that thing. You know, I have a purpose on this earth, and I had to pray. I had to sincerely pray and ask God to give me the spirit to want to live. Give me the spirit to want to do. Give me that spirit to want to survive. Give me the spirit to you know, like Sister Renisha said, I want to stand before him, and he said every assignment was finished. Well, if I ask him to take my life before it's supposed to be, I'm giving up on God. I'm giving up on what he has said I can have. He said he'll give me perfect peace, but I got to know that when I pray. I've got to know that, you know, but I'm going to go to the scripture. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to give you 10 minutes, Pastor. But this scripture in the Song of David is full of prayers. It's full of prayers. The prayers of supplication, the prayers of intercession, it's full of prayers. But God led me to Psalms 25, starting at 11. It said, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquities, for it is great. What man is that feareth the Lord? Let's start over because I say the enemy will not take this. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquities, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." I pray the prayer. there, even in my mind, when my granddaughter was taken from us, I prayed the prayer for my son because I knew what God had said. He said, if I teach him the way, great shall be the peace of my children. So within that, I said, God, your Holy Spirit is telling me to pray for his peace. And as I prayed for his peace, my mind became settled because God said he would give me perfect peace. So in order for me to have perfect peace, he had to see peace within me. My child had to see the peace of God on the inside of me. And I had to give him the words of God to encourage him to go on. I couldn't die in the battle. I couldn't die with my mind messed up like it was. I had to become the prayer that I was praying for him. So that's how we overcome. A lot of times when we're going through, we don't pray for ourselves. We pray for somebody else that's in a situation maybe worse or maybe less than what we're going through. But when we pray, we give God that thing that somebody else need. And when we do that, God blesses us. In turn, he gives us what we need. So as I began to pray for Sean, I became that perfect peace that he could see, that he could go on, that he could manifest what God has for him, that he is going to become the man of God because I keep praying for peace within him. And while I'm praying for his peace, I'm getting peace all the while. I'm maintaining and I'm getting better. I thank God because even with praying of peace with that, I received the healing in my body. You know, I just thank God, you know, God had to show me that the Holy Spirit was not sent for me just to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit was not just sent for, he was sent as a guide. He's part of, oh my God, it's Jesus Christ downloaded in me, in my spirit, to dwell and connect with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that I'll know how to pray. I'll know what to pray. I'll know when to pray. But before I do that, I've got to know the Word of God. You cannot pray. See, we get in our all emotions. We be in this emotional roller coaster. We up one day, we down one day. We love one day, we hate one day. We attitudish one day. We don't want to forgive one day. One day we want to forgive. And I say, God, show me. He said, when you learn how to pray, when you learn how to pray, our Father, yes, that's the model prayer. That's a prayer that we just, you know, we model after. But God said, when you go through situations in your day-to-day walk with me, you got to know the Word of God to put on the situation, because the devil knows that the mind is a terrible thing, the way they say. It's the battlefield for the enemy. So he knows if I don't know the scripture, I won't know to say, if I resist you, Satan, you're going to flee from me. You're going to get away from me because I'm resisting you. I'm putting the Word of God mixed with my faith in my prayer so that things can change, so situations can become what I said, like Sister Helda say, we can have what we ask for if we know and if we have a relationship with God. It is more to just saying, God, heal this headache. It's more to just saying, God, I want a house. It's more to just saying, God, I need a car. God say he already knows the needs that we have and he'll supply our needs. But what about saying, God, I see that child that's in the gutter. I see it because I discern it through my spirit, and I can begin to connect with the Holy Spirit that teaches me what to pray for, who to pray for, and when to pray. See, we are so lazy and we're so complacent. We want to just ride on the piggyback of the pastor. We want to ride on the piggyback of the intercessors. We want to ride on the piggyback of the prayer warriors. But where is your faith? Where is your faith? I used to pray, you know, and in getting a closer relationship with God, I learned. I used to say this all the time. God, if it be your will. God say, what you doing is showing me your lack of faith, because you don't know what my will is. But if you spend time with me, if you have a relationship with me, then you will know what my will is, because all my promises for my children are yea and amen. You don't know the promises because you praying, God, if it be your will. God, if it be your will, it is his will that we will live in abundance. It is his will that we'll have health. It is his will that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. It is his health. It is his will that we have all this thing, but it's also his will that we be an example to the world that we are children of the Most High God that keeps nothing from us, but we have to have that relationship in prayer and faith. You know, I told you 10 minutes, Pastor. So I believe that's about my 10 minutes. But I just want to say, you know, in John 15 and 26, it say, but I will send you the comforter from the Father. When he comes, he will give evidence about me. He is spirit of truth who comes from the Father. So tell me, when you read that, what does that say? That the Holy Spirit, it said, but I will send you a comforter from the Father. When he comes, he will give evidence about me. He is the spirit of truth who comes from the Father. So the truth of the matter is, I don't care what battle you battling in your mind. If you got that relationship with the Father and you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, he's not going to force himself. He's not going to force himself. That's a gift from God. That's a gift, a part of him he's given to you to live with you right here on earth in the flesh. We are spirit in flesh, but our spirits are. Sometimes we feed that soul, we feed that flesh more than we feed the spirit. So when it comes to time to pray, the spirit is like, Bridget, you done spent more time on Facebook. You done spent more time strolling. You done spent more time on that sofa sleeping than you have with me. So now when it's time to pray because you're having a battle, the well is empty. So I'm just telling you, what you got to do is to remember that every time you go before God, first of all, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for him to forgive your sins. Because even in that same chapter, it says in the 17th verse, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distress. Look upon mine afflictions and my pain and forgive all my sins. So the word says we all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But because of the obedience, because I come to him with an humble heart and I say, God, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my wrongdoing. Forgive me of those seeds that I planted that was not godly. And before you go to him, ask for forgiveness. Get yourself straight and then go before him. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him thanks. Become humble. You know, I had something written down. I want to read that and then I'm going to get out the way. I was saying sometimes my knees hurt, sometimes my back hurt, sometimes I have to just come to the end of myself and empty myself. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit that's in me convicts me. Oh, he convicts me. And out of that conviction, the Holy Spirit will get me to the end of myself when I know what to really pray for. So I'm telling you, always remember, keep that connection and that line clear. So when it's time to pray, listen to that spirit that says, no, you don't need to pray for you. Pray for your brother. Pray for your sister. And I'll heal those troubles that you're battling with in your mind. God bless you.
My God, just go ahead and drop the mic. Why don't you, Sister Bridget? To God be the glory. Come on, let's clap our hands for her. Praise the Lord. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. Y'all, we have handled, or we've dealt with some amazing topics tonight. How to Overcome Rejection by Dr. Wilson. How to Release Unforgiveness and Move Forward by Zaniah. How to Silence the War of the Mind by Renisha. And How to Fight the Battles of Your Mind Through Prayer by Sister Bridget. When I tell you all that these were some heavy hitters tonight, we are grateful to God for your obedience. So now I want to open up the floor for just a few minutes for questions. Is there anyone that have a question, a comment that they would like to ask or share with us tonight? The floor is open. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much. Again, we honor God for these four amazing speakers. I got my notes right here. We're continuing on in this mind game series. I believe this is the best time to be in this series. I know that this series is God ordained, and he positioned it perfectly. And so we're grateful to God for that.